Welcome to the Heart for God podcast. With many years of experience pastoring and helping to start churches, Dr. Jim Townsley has some practical and biblical advice that can be a great help to you and your ministry. On this podcast, Dr. Townsley and other guests with special expertise cover a variety of topics. His goal is to help you lead your church to be a healthy, strong, and balanced ministry, and for your family to be happy, healthy, and living for the Lord.
Welcome to the Heart for God podcast. The title Heart for God is really the motto of our ministry, and that's our desire to help young people have a heart for God, and that's our desire. The purpose of this podcast is really to help particularly young men and new church planters, but I think it could be helpful to anyone that listens. And there are a lot of questions that I had when I first started out. I was really a new Christian as well as a new pastor, and I didn't have a lot of church background. I was out of church most of my life. And when I got saved and called to preach, 3 years later, I was a new husband. I was just starting a church, and I had a lot of questions, and I constantly called, I might even say pestered a lot of pastor friends that were older. How do you do this? What do we do in this situation? So it was a great help to me to seek some counsel and advice for some other people. Well, at this point, I'm one of the older preachers, and I don't know everything, but I do believe I know some things that can be a help to some people, and that's my desire, is to be able to help you and give you some thoughts and ideas. So the heart of this podcast is really to just give help and offer suggestions and many practical things, I think, that could be useful to you and your ministry. I do think it's important that you understand a little bit about me and my background, because that's kind of what forms my opinions about things. And that way you better understand where I'm coming from and why I do what I do, why I believe what I believe. And I was brought up in a little country church, a very rural area in southern Indiana. The church was an American Baptist church. It was going through a change that there was compromise. Liberalism was having its effect on the convention. My grandfather basically ran the church. It went through a split before I could even remember what was happening in the church. I didn't know what was going on. But as I got old enough to where I could be saved, the church was down to about 12 to 15 people, mostly my family. My grandfather basically ran the church. We ended up having a preacher come only every other week, and then once a month, and then ultimately the church closed its doors. So all of my teen years, and even probably from about 10 or 11 years old, we stopped going to church. And frankly, I was happy not to go to church. I was a young boy. I had other stuff I wanted to do. So it didn't really bother me. But all the teen years, I was just like everybody else, doing what everyone else did. I had a fancy sports car when I got my driver's license. I was an athlete. I played basketball and football and ran track and was interested in hunting and fishing. And those were things that were really most important to me at the time. But unfortunately, I didn't have any guidance that I would say was moral guidance. My parents were good people. I didn't want to hurt them, but I was still living my own life in a very selfish, prideful life. So I went through all those teen years basically as a prodigal, just doing what I wanted to do. I scheduled the bands for the Friday night dances after the football games. I went to more than one prom. I was just doing what I wanted to do, and I made a lot of mistakes, and there are a lot of things I would regret as I look back at those teen years. They were really wasted. So I went to Purdue University. I was in a fraternity because I had a lot of connections through farming, and I was in an agricultural fraternity the first semester I was there. Went there to play basketball and end up coaching. My mother had just started going to a truly fundamental church. Pastor was excited and people were getting saved. There was a lot of good things happening in that church. And my mother was really looking for something real. She was concerned about me. I was causing her great grief. And because of that, I had gone a few times to that church. And to make a long story short, I ended up going to a Christian college through the advice of the pastor's wife because I got cut from the team at Purdue, and I went down to Tennessee Temple University to play basketball, not even knowing what a Christian college was. I'd never heard of them, but I heard they had a basketball team. I decided, well, I'll go down there. And while I was there, I'm sitting in New Testament survey. New Testament survey is always the second semester, and I went in the spring semester. And I'm sitting in New Testament survey, and my teacher, Dr. Wymel Porter, he was talking about the substitutionary death of Christ, and I sat there dumbfounded. I'd never understood that. And I believed in God. I prayed at night, asked for forgiveness for my rotten sins, but I didn't know the gospel. I didn't understand how to be saved and any of that. I'd been baptized. I was a member of a church, but unsaved. Not long after I understood the substitutionary death of Christ, a man named Dolphus Price, an evangelist, was preaching a 9 o'clock hour Bible conference, and he came to the pulpit and stated, "God's kept me up all night. I've been praying. Someone here is not saved and needs to get saved." And he preached from Matthew 7, "By their fruit you'll know them." I don't remember the sermon, but I remember how convicted I was. I need to get this settled. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Because I thought I'd been baptized. I believed in God. It was all kind of new to me. So they gave an invitation, which they would never do at the Bible conference, but this morning they did. It was just an anointed time. I came from that balcony down to the front, and Dr. Price was actually the one that met me, and he said, "Why'd you come?" And I said, "Well, I'm just not sure I'm saved." He turned to one verse, John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And God the Holy Spirit smote my heart." I mean, God's presence was there, and I knew I was empty and lost. And he said, "Let's pray." And I prayed. I said, "Lord, save me." And so they filled out a card, and they started to take it up to the pulpit to announce that I had come and gotten saved. And I said, "Wait a minute, put down their call to preach." And the very moment I got saved, I surrendered my life to the Lord as whatever he wanted, and I believe he wanted me to be a pastor. And so Dr. Robertson baptized me that night, and I got the rest of my training under the leadership of Dr. Lee Robertson. And it was really the height of the Tennessee Temple Schools and Highland Park Baptist Church. It was an exciting place, an electric place. But that's where I cut my teeth, and that's where I learned about the fundamentals of the faith. That's where I grew. That's where I started serving the Lord. And so I would consider myself a fundamentalist. I will always be a fundamentalist, and I guess it's important to clarify what that means, but I was saved in a fundamental ministry under a fundamental pastor from a fundamental evangelist. These were great men. That's where I began. Why would I turn away from those that brought about my salvation, that trained me to go out and serve God? That was the source of my strength. That's where it all began. I have no reason to turn away from that. Now, over the years, obviously, I've evaluated, I've scrutinized what I believe, why I believe it, and I've come to the same conclusion. I mean, these men were not perfect, no one is, but they had the truth, and their stand was right, and I have no reason to ever change that, and I would consider myself a fundamentalist. Now, I know that there's a very loose connection or explanation of fundamentalism. that basically says verbal inspiration, inerrancy of Scripture, virgin birth, the atonement of Christ, his resurrection, his miracles. There are certain basic things. But if you think about it in these terms, to be fundamental, I would illustrate it by talking about a car. My cousin, whom I spent a lot of time with and got into a lot of mischief with, his dad had an old truck sitting in the pasture and didn't have any body to it, no hood. It was just the chassis, the tires, the engine, and a seat. And we got that thing running and started driving around. We made a little racetrack, and we're racing it around the racetrack. And it worked, because all the fundamentals to make it work were there. But it was not a very pretty vehicle. It looked very odd, just out in the open breeze driving that thing around. And I think it's possible for someone to be saved because they believe in the basic fundamentals of faith. But there's really more to it than that. You know, the early English Baptist and the early Colonial Baptist were called separatist. And they were called that because they would not link together with unbelievers whatsoever. They were separate from them. And the mainline denominations, the Anglican Church and others, looked down upon them, and they called them, you separatists. I mean, that was really a label of scorn. But they believed in the Scripture. They were fundamental Baptist, and they believed in separation from the world. But that all comes from the Bible. When you read the Bible, you see that there's two seeds. There's the God seed and the seed planted by Satan. There's light from darkness, that Abraham and Lot went different directions. Ishmael is after the flesh, Isaac after the spirit. Israel was separated from the Egyptians. There's the clean and the unclean in all the ceremonial laws. The history of Israel is filled with separation from others. The parables of Matthew chapter 13 separate evil from good. The Bible is very clear that the Christian, the child of God, is saved out of the world, separated from it. We're to come out from the world, not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, here's how I want to tie together my upbringing with why I'm a fundamentalist. I feel like by the grace of God, I was saved, but I never would have been had it been through a church that had compromised and it closed its doors. I've seen three major movements in my lifetime where compromise has led to death. It has destroyed churches. And I don't want to be a pastor that follows the trend of compromise, that listens to those who are compromising, and end up some little child that grows up in my ministry no longer understands the gospel. And he's confused by the worldliness in the church and sees no reason to come to Christ. And so it, I think, becomes a personal thing for me. So it's not a hobby horse, but I just want you to understand where I'm coming from, that it disturbs me when I see the possibility or the beginnings where compromise is going to lead to liberalism. It's going to lead to where it's confusing for people to understand the gospel. And I know there are people that may be saved that are not fundamental Baptist. I know there are good people and Christian people. My point is, why would we want a church that's not clear on their stand, that doesn't hold their flag high and say, here's what the Bible teaches. Let's follow the Bible. Wherever it leads, let's do what it says. So I really believe that it's important to understand that I'm trying to follow the Bible. I'm trying to be separate from the world. I believe in all the fundamentals of the faith. If it's in the Bible, then I want to follow it, whatever it says, whether I like it or not. I don't think it matters if your associations can lead you the wrong way. And I don't care where you're from or what school or college you attended, but I do care what happens to a church. Are you a bright light? Are you making the gospel clear? Are people who attend your services confused between the world and the clear teaching of the gospel and the Bible? So as we go through a number of issues, this topic probably won't come up like I'm giving it now, but I think it's a sort of a pretext as we talk about a lot of practical issues and things, that my hope is to help fundamental Baptist churches be strong, to be balanced, to grow, to start other churches, and support missionaries all over the world. So that's my goal, that's my hope, that I can be a blessing and that I can help anyone that might listen to the podcast to strengthen your church and really make a difference. So it does make a difference, the philosophy that you have, the direction you're going, because that becomes the message. And I want to be a voice that's clear, that's helpful, and that's accurate. You know, the next generation is probably going to follow your direction, and if it's in the wrong direction, it'll probably go farther than where you're at. So I want to be surrendered to the Lord and realize that we're in a battle between the world, the flesh, and the devil. And whatever is right, that's what I want to do. If it's wrong, I want no part of it. Honoring God is more important than honoring man. Compromise always results in less being accomplished for eternity. There are many trends and fads, and all these things change, but the Bible remains the same. The end result of liberalism is death. I've seen it in my lifetime. Maybe you're old enough that you've observed it as well. Why are all these old mainline churches empty? Why are there only old people there? Well, there's a philosophy and a direction they took that's bringing about their death, if not already brought it about. So that's my hope, and I'm glad you listened, and we've got several recordings already made. We'll be adding those at least weekly, and we hope that you'll join us. You'll tell someone else about the podcast, and God bless you, and I just pray that it could be a blessing to you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, consider sharing it with a friend. You can also follow at Dr. Townsley on Twitter or on Facebook at Jim Townsley.